In Psalm 42, verse 5, the Bible says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this, "We glory in tribulation." In other words, we glory in trouble, or we should glory in trouble. In other words, when trouble comes, we should rejoice, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I had a lady 2 or 3 weeks ago, it's probably been 2 or 3 months ago, she says, "Preacher, I want you to pray with me for patience." I said, "I ain't going to do it." She said, "Why not?" Because I said, "I know what teaches patience. Tribulation teaches patience. I mean, I'll pray for just, I'm not going to pray that you have patience because the tribulation's going to come." And I prayed for her, but tribulation came. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And what that verse is saying is that when God sends trouble into our life, we ought to rejoice because that tribulation worketh patience. We learn how to depend on God and just hold on to that anchor when that tribulation comes. And then patience experience. The more times I do that, the more experience I get, and the more experience I get with God, knowing that He is not going to fail me when trouble comes. That He is an anchor that we can hang on to. That He is a rock that will not sink. And then experience hope. I go through it enough where I have proven God over and over again, and so the next batch of trouble comes, and I said, "I'm just going to hope in God. He's worked before, and He can work again." I told you the story about that black preacher that was driving down the road erratically. I was just speeding a little bit this morning, just a little bit. And I saw a policeman sitting on the side of the road, just a little bit, Barb, five miles, that's all, just 5 miles. And when I passed, he pulled out. And I said, "Oh, Lord, not today. Please not today. Everything was going good. I was looking forward to the service. I was looking forward to baptizing those two. And I said, This is of the devil. I know if he pulls me over, this is the devil's doing because he wants to discourage me before I get to church. And I prayed hard, and he pulled off at the exit. I said, "Thank you, Lord." I don't know. And I feel sorry for the guy that pulled off ahead of him because he was going after him. But that old black preacher that was driving down the road, driving erratically, and the policeman pulled him over to the side of the road, and he said, "Preacher, you know you were speeding and you were driving across the lanes." And he said, "No, I wasn't. I was staying right in the lane." And the policeman noticed there was a brown bag with a bottle inside on the seat beside him. And he said, "Preacher, what's in that brown bag?" And the preacher said, "That's just a bottle of water. Just a bottle of water." And the policeman said, "Let me see that bag." And the preacher reached over there and gave him the bag. And the policeman put it up to his nose like this and smelled it. And he said, "Preacher, that's not water. That's wine." And the preacher said, "Praise God, he done it again." Turn the water in. Now, Jeannie, you can tell that one. I turn the water into wine. And I'm glad that we have a God that has proven himself to us over and over and over and over again, that when tribulation comes, we can hope in Him. We can hope in Him. I was talking to a man 4 or 5 weeks ago. Got himself into trouble with his credit cards. And I was telling him, hey, and I gave him some financial advice about what he needed to do. But I said, "You can hope in God. You can hope in God." He said, "Well, I want to hope in God because I can't hope in anything else. But how can I hope in God? How can I have that hope in God?" I said, "Okay, let me tell you." And I gave him a 3-part answer. I've been preaching so long, 3-point sermons, Laura, that my answers are now 3-point answers. But I gave him a 3-point answer, and I want to share the answer I gave to him tonight with you. How can you have hope in God? We can have hope in God because He tells us that we can in the Bible. But I want to show you tonight how to claim that. How to make it yours. Three simple points. Number one, you need to become one of his sheep. You need to make him your shepherd. In Psalm 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means when it's time to eat, I shall not want for stuff to eat. When it's time, I shall not want. When I need a place to live, I shall not want for a place to live. I shall not want. When I need something to drink, I won't have to worry about what to drink. I shall not want. It means when I want and I need something to wear, I shall not want. I shall not want if he is my shepherd and I am one of his sheep. I have a hope in my shepherd that he's going to lead me beside the still waters. He's going to lead me into the green pastures. He's going to protect me from my enemies. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You might say, okay, I know David wrote that psalm, but he probably wrote it when he was a little shepherd boy living in daddy's house and he had everything he needed. No, he didn't. You might think, well, I know David wrote that psalm. He probably wrote it when he was the king and everything was going good with the kingdom and he had plenty of wealth and he had plenty of honor and he had food on the table and lived in the palace. No, he didn't. David wrote the 23rd psalm when Absalom rebelled against him and led a rebellion against his own dad, and his dad had to leave Jerusalem. He fled for his life. He ran into the wilderness, and as he had no palace, some of his army had rebelled against him. Some of his friends had turned against him. It was a low point in his life. That's when David wrote the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He crossed the river running from Absalom. He got over to that place called Mahanaim. And he had nothing. He had nothing. The only things he had was the clothes on his back and I think it was Ziba, Saul's servant, had brought him some donkeys with some food for the trip. But when he got over to that place, he had nothing. And he wrote the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And there was a man named Barzilla that came up to him and said, "Hey, David, I've heard you have some trouble. I'm going to feed you while you're here in the wilderness." He brought beds for David's household to sleep in. He brought barrels of water for them to drink. You see, when we make the Lord our shepherd, we can claim the promise that because he is our shepherd, we shall not want. And when the storms of life look like they're going to tear everything out from underneath us, we just need to remember that the good shepherd is the one watching over us. We just need to remember that we will not want because we belong to him. Another verse comes to my mind, that one in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it says in the New Testament the same thing that the 23rd Psalm says in the Old Testament. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Somebody tell me who wrote the book of Philippians. Paul. That's right. You might think, well, Paul wrote the book of Philippians when he was in Antioch, that church that was thriving there where thousands were getting saved, where they were first called Christians, and that church was taking care of him. And so he could write the book of Philippians and say, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." And you that know the story of Philippians know that Paul wasn't in Antioch when he wrote the book of Philippians. Paul was in a Roman prison, without anything, bound between two soldiers with chains, and had no freedom. And he wrote that verse from the darkness and the dampness of that Roman prison. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And there was a man, and I won't say his name right, Epaphroditus, that came to Rome, came to jail, came to visit Paul. And he said, "Paul, I brought you some food, and I bought you some new clothes." And Paul knew from experience, not the first time, from experience, that his God shall supply all his need. There is a God in heaven, and if you're one of His sheep, if He is your good shepherd, He will supply your need. He knows when we're at the bottom of the barrel. He knows when we've exhausted our supply. And the one that fed 3.5 million Jews every day for 40 years with manna from heaven and water from the rock will feed us. And the one that had ravens bring bread and meat to the prophet as he was camped out by the brook will feed us. And the one that took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men and women and children will feed us. And I want to just remind you tonight that our God will. Not may, not maybe, not could, but our God will supply every one of our needs. Make Him your shepherd. If you're not one of His sheep, then you join the flock. You say, how do I do that? You admit that you're a sinner. You understand that there's a penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death. You understand that God, as Teresa sang a moment ago, loved us enough that when we were sinners, He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place. And you receive Him as your Savior. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We get to be part of the family of God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about belonging to that family. I'm excited about being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm excited about having a Father that knows every moment of every day what I need and promised me in His book that He'll supply everything I need. Why do I have hope? Because I'm one of His sheep and He's the shepherd. Number two, how can we appropriate that hope? Put Him first. Put Him first. Matthew 6:33, last verse we read a moment ago. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know who said that? The one who was born in a borrowed manger. The one who slept in a borrowed bed. The one who fed that 5,000 with a borrowed lunch. Who rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. Who ate the Last Supper in a borrowed room. Who was clothed in a borrowed coat. And who was buried in a borrowed tomb. And you might think, boy, how can a guy that had to borrow everything he had give me everything that I need? Because He's God. Because He's God. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You go out tonight when it's dark. Look up at the moon. Look up at the stars. The one who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, is the one that made that moon and made those stars. You, on your way home, just look at the trees. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. The God that made everything that we see. Is the one that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When Jesus spoke these words, He was on a hillside. He reached down, He picked up a flower, a lily, not the Easter lily that we think about, a common flower that was in the field back in that time. And He said, hey, look at this little flower. Isn't it pretty? Isn't it pretty? He said, you know, Solomon, when he was at the height of his power, he never looked this pretty. He was never arrayed like this. He pointed to a little bird. He said, I know that little bird. I know where he's going next. I know his name. If he falls, I'll know where he falls. I feed that little bird. Every single one of them. And he said, don't you think if I feed the little birds and I array or dress the lilies of the field, don't you think I know what you need? I know what you need. He said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll take care of you. Do you want to have hope? Join his flock. Make him your shepherd. Put him first. Put him first. And everything, all these other things that he knows we need, he'll give us. He'll take care of us. And then number three, give God what's his. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, we get things backwards. When things get tight and we face some serious times, we say, oh, I can't tithe, I won't be able to make it. And those are the exact times when we ought to say, and I told this man, I mentioned a moment ago, I said, first thing you need to do if you're not doing is start tithing. He said, I can't afford to tithe. I said, you can't afford not to tithe. You think you're in trouble now? You robbed God. You don't give to God what's his, and you'll never get out of this mess. Just trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Give back to him what is his. And he says, he promised, he says, prove me. He says, try me out. He says, you give me what's mine, and I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't receive. You say, does that mean he'll empty the coffers of heaven? And as I tithe, he'll fill up my bank account with money? That's not what that verse says. Do you know that God can bless us in innumerable ways with things other than money that we will enjoy far better than money? Most of us, we got a lot of money, we'd be in trouble 2 days after we get it. I was reading that story, I can't remember where it was, about this guy that won a big lottery prize 2 or 3 years ago. His life's a wreck. Lost his family, lost all his money, lost his friends. I want that kind of blessing. I don't keep my family. I want to keep my friends. Don't give me a lot of money. Just, you know, just meet my needs. And God says, look, you give me what's mine, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out a blessing. And your preacher's not standing up here like others do and say, tithe and God will make you rich. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God will bless you. God will bless you in ways that you cannot understand, in ways that you cannot comprehend, in ways that you won't have room to receive it. You'll walk around like Donna says, I just know how much better God can be to me. I just don't. I just know how much better God can be to me. And that's where we need to get. We need to get to that point. Hey, I have a God that takes care of me. I have a God that watches out for me. I'm going to hope in him because he has proven over and over and over and over again. I have experience with him that when things get tough, he will be God. And he will do what only God can do. Let me ask you a question. And this will be, most of us are too young to understand this analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. Go back to the days when farmers had mules. They had mules pulling their plows. Say you had two teams of mules. And one of them was obedient. And when you said, get up, they got up. And when you said, whoa, they stopped. And when you said, what do you say when you want them to go right, Brother Clint? G? G. When they said G, they went G. And when you want them to go left, you said whatever you say, ah. And they went left. And they were obedient. And they were a help. They did what they were told to do. And then you had another team of mules that were stubborn as mules. You had to beat them with a 2x4 to get them up in the morning. And they didn't walk in a straight line, and they didn't go when you said giddy up, and they didn't stop when you said whoa, and they didn't turn to the right or turn to the left. And let's say you got down to a point that you could only feed one team of those mules. Which one would you feed? You'd feed the obedient ones, wouldn't you? You feed the ones that did what you told them to do. Now, God's cupboard will never run bare that he can only afford to feed one of us, but I tell you what, He'll be a he'll He'll pour the blessings on those that are obedient before He will the ones that are stubborn as a mule, that He has to take a 2x4 to get us up and going, that we set when He says go, and go when He says stop, and turn left when He says turn right, and turn right when he says turn left. If we are just obedient and do what He tells us to do, especially when it comes to, when the Bible comes talking about giving back to what's His anyway, giving back to Him what's His anyway, He will bless us. So how can I have that hope? How can I appropriate that hope that I have in God? We'll make Him your shepherd. Put Him first. And then give Him what's His. And then you can stand in full confidence and say, Lord, I have a need. And you can claim Psalm 23, verse 1, where the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can claim Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And you can have hope. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this book. Thank You that it tells us the truth. Thank You that it tells us how to live in this world while we're getting ready for the next one. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't belong to Your fold, You're not their shepherd, I pray tonight, Father, they'd become a member of the family. They'd receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they would come and get saved. Come and let His blood cover their sins. Come and become a son. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that we would do exactly what the Bible says. We'd put You first. We'd seek Your kingdom, Your righteousness. And then rest assured that You'll take care of everything else. Father, I pray You'd bless the invitation tonight. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. There's something that we need to do. Somebody here that needs to get...